Amen. The Lord is building the church. By God's help, we have beautiful new spaces, new open spaces in this building. And we have hopes and dreams for how these will be used for the Neyland Faith family and the communities where we live and worship. We rely on God's help to prepare us to be a new people, a people who are open to God's work in us and open to relationships with the people around us. Now, this spring, we're focusing on those five practices rising out of the passage in Peter's letter to the churches, the practices of prayer, presence, participation, proclamation, and praise. And as we just learned together, 1 Peter 4 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." Pray. So today we focus on the practice of prayer. Our worship has already been bathed in beautiful prayers. Prayer is a common theme in the letters of Peter and the letters of Paul because it's a powerful and important habit in the church. Paul's letter to the Colossians began with prayers of gratitude for the faithful people there and prayers that their lives might bear fruit. And near the end of his letter, Paul writes again about prayer. So I'll be reading Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Last Sunday was a beautiful day of celebration as we gave thanks and asked for God's blessing to live into our vision for our new spaces. And as we've heard, it was also a day of prayer. From 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., people came into this building, individuals and families, to pray. And I took a photo as I left after praying the last shift with Chris. And Paul already alluded to this in his prayer. While Tom and Mayor were praying together in the afternoon, some teen girls peered in wanting to see our new space, eager for connection, even just to play a game. It was encouraging, a sign that God is already listening to our prayers for our engagement with our neighbors. Last Sunday was a good way to begin this new season in a new space, devoting ourselves to prayer. And now Paul writes, devote yourself to prayer. So be intentional, be committed. Prayer is such an important part of our relationship with God. It's vital to our spiritual health. It's essential to our growth. When we come to God with humble hearts and minds attuned to God's will, we grow deeper in our faith and our walk with God. And when we enter into prayer, we remember God's words, "Be still and know that I am God." So if we quiet ourselves, we are better able to listen for how and where God is speaking to us. Because contrary to what may be our common practice, prayer is just as much about listening as it is about speaking. When we're in regular communication with God, both speaking our petitions and our praises and listening for God's voice, our relationship with God grows deeper and is more aligned to God's will. 1 Peter 4, verse 7 again says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." This passage in Colossians begins similarly. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I wondered what Peter had meant about the sober mind. especially because people dear to me are struggling with addictions to drugs and alcohol. And I wondered, and it's true that this word in Greek actually is about being sober and not drunk. At least that's part of the connotation. It's an old problem that we need to remain aware of as we are encouraged to be clear-headed, to be alert as we pray, and to be watchful. Because the end of all things is near, be watchful. We sang, till he returns or calls us home, till Christ returns or calls us home. And both Peter and Paul are mindful that Christ has promised to come again. So they encourage people to always be alert. Yet it's more than just being about waiting in readiness. God's kingdom is coming, whether soon or yet a long while. And God's people need to be purposeful about how we participate in the building of God's kingdom here and now. That Greek word for be watchful is Gregorio, which became a popular name. It's even true that there were a number of popes named Gregory. Perhaps it's a sign that being awake and watchful is an important character trait for our walk with God. Be watchful. As theologian Douglas Moo says, what the watching believers are to do in these texts is not just watch for Christ's return, but watch their own life in the light of the return of Christ. Believers need to constantly be awake to the nature of the times they live in and orient their lives accordingly. Be awake. Orient your life accordingly. When we're alert in prayer and in our lives, and we listen and watch for where God is at work, we learn how to orient our lives, and it also becomes easier to be thankful. In many of the letters to the churches, prayer and thankfulness go together. Give thanks in all circumstances. Be watchful and thankful. And so that's where we started last week, when we had that beautiful open mic time during worship, to express thanks for so many good people and good gifts along the way during our building project. And we continue to give thanks for all the opportunities that God will give us and is giving us already. So, devote yourselves to prayer. Persist. Pay attention. Be alert as you bring your needs and your praises to God. And then Paul says, pray for us. After he encourages his readers to be faithful in prayer for themselves, he asks them to pray for him and the other leaders there too. Paul was writing from prison, and even there he longed for God to open doors so that he could proclaim the gospel message of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that Paul often prayed for this himself, and knowing that prayer is powerful, he asked them to join him in prayer. Here too, we ask you to pray for us. Pray for Pastor Joel and for me, that we may proclaim God's message clearly. Pray for our other leaders too, for Marilyn and Michael and all our council leaders, for Kiki and Amy and everyone who makes connections in ministry at Neyland and in the community, for Dawn and all those whose musical gifts enrich our worship and prayer, for Krista and all the other staff who help us to work effectively, pray for us and for each other. As you pray for our life together at Neyland, I'd like to ask for your prayers for another new adventure. In council, we've been talking for a couple of years about forming a faith formation committee, and now we have one. This committee will cast a vision for learning and discipleship for people at all stages of life, and it will support and equip the congregation to help each other learn and grow deeper in their faith. As our committee of teens and adults have begun meeting and talking about where our work would lead us, we all want to pay attention to some of the important habits or spiritual practices that deepen our walk with God. And of course, that includes prayer. We have some ideas, and we hope you'll share your ideas with us too. And we invite you, encourage you, to pray for us. Pray that you may be ready to make the most of every opportunity. As we pray for each other, let's pray that we will be people who make the most of opportunities that come our way. After his specific encouragement about prayer in verses 5 and 6, Paul talks about how Christians should interact with outsiders. And this becomes a matter for prayer too, of course. But first, let's address that idea of outsiders. In Paul's context, he's talking to the people who were inside the church, and the outsiders were those who had not yet heard or accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think that nowadays, we want to be careful about how we think and talk about insiders and outsiders, right? Those are probably not the best terms for us to use. And even when we talk about members at Neyland, we want to be careful because many of you are already becoming part of our faith family, even if you're not yet full members. You're part of us. You are not outsiders. And we can't talk about the people in this congregation being inside and everyone else being outside. There are plenty of people in our community, around this church, at school, at work, in our neighborhoods, people who are devoted Christians already, whose prayer lives are rich and deep. And we can probably learn as much or more from them as they from us. So let's get past that outsider language and see if there's still something we can learn here. Paul says, be wise in the way you act. What great advice. People are often drawn to us or repelled by us as much because of the way we act as because of what we say. So be wise, discerning, even careful about how you behave. People are watching you, and we hope that they see the love and welcome of Christ in the way you behave. Words are important, too. So he says, let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt. Speak with kindness and consideration. Be gracious and pleasing and pure. I was amused as I was reading many commentators, how many of them talked about that seasoning and said, don't be insipid. Insipid. Lacking flavor. Dull. Well, don't talk like that. Be gracious. Be winsome. Let whatever you say be worthwhile. And here, nearly every commentator also pointed to 1 Peter 3, verse 15, where it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Always be prepared to speak with grace about the one who has shown you grace, the one who gives you hope. Be ready with the right word at the right time. And how can you be ready? How can you be wise? How can you make the most of every opportunity? By praying about it. By praying that God will help you to be ready. Praying that God will open your heart and mind to others. Make the most of every opportunity by listening for where God is leading you. And listen well to others. Sometimes God speaks to us through other people. And sometimes God prepares you as you listen carefully so that you are ready to respond with the right words so that you may know how to answer everyone. Occasionally, God places unexpected opportunities right in front of us. That wonderful new open space with all the windows has already begun to fulfill its purpose in so many ways. We're seeing also that God is preparing us to be a people ready to listen and ready to pray. On Tuesday morning, as I arrived at church for our staff meeting, Alex and Lindsay were also coming up to church. So I invited them to come in with me, and we marveled at this beautiful open space. And then they began to talk about the frustrating morning they'd had in the NICU. And then the other staff people started to gather closer by, and Lindsay shared some of her trauma of what happened after Elliot was born. And as we listened, we shared our compassion and our love with them, and then we said, "Can we pray with you?" And so right there in that beautiful space, we sat together and we encircled Lindsay and Alex, and we gave thanks for them, and we prayed for them and their new baby. It was a wonderful answer to prayer. And as I talked with Lindsay later, partly to ask permission to share this story, she also said, "God directed this." We were all grateful for the open space and the open hearts that enabled us to make the most of this opportunity to share and pray together. So friends, let's devote ourselves to prayer. Let's focus on talking with God, praying continually. And let us pray that we may become more and more an open people who are ready to listen, to speak, to pray, to live in community together. Let's pray that for ourselves, for our leaders, for our community. Let's also pray for our nation and our world, which reminds me of another opportunity. This week, Thursday, is the National Day of Prayer. And we don't have anything formal planned yet, but we're open to your ideas, and I can be here to gather with anyone who would like to pray on Thursday evening. So come and talk to me if you'd like to do that. And finally, in the context of our series about open spaces and open people, we are especially praying for God to prepare and equip us to be ready to listen and learn and fellowship and pray with anyone who comes into our building and into our lives. And we also want to pray for those who go out from here, who go to other places, nearby and far away, who go to share the love of Christ and the fellowship we experience through the Holy Spirit. And today we have a unique situation to practice what we are learning about prayer. Teo and Beth will leave this Tuesday for Nepal. They're going with a group of Calvin pre-med and nursing students, and we would like to pray for them. So I am inviting Teo and Beth to come forward along with their elder and small group so that we can lay hands on them and pray for them together. And as they come up, let's begin our prayer with the song, "Lord, Listen to Your Children Praying." Lord, listen to your children praying. We pray today especially for Teo and Beth as they go to Nepal with nursing and pre-med students. We pray that you will be with them as they travel in planes, as they go across the ocean, and in whatever travel modes they use as they move through Nepal. Keep them safe and guide them and protect them. We pray for Teo and Beth as they lead these students. Move them by your Holy Spirit to speak words that are seasoned with salt, full of grace and love and power. We pray for the students as they enter a new culture, that they may learn and grow and appreciate what they are learning there, and that your Spirit may move among them as they see what the work of medical missions can be like. And Lord, we pray that you will guide and direct them every step of the way. Tender Shepherd, provide for all that they need and accompany them with your grace and your mercy and your love. We pray this in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.